Ukraine counts its victories in the latest offensive against Russia, but damage to critical infrastructure signals a cold winter is ahead. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has accused Russia of attacking civilian infrastructure, resulting in widespread blackouts in the east of the country. The Kharkiv and Donetsk regions completely lost power over the weekend, with partial outages mounting elsewhere. It comes as President Zelensky says his Ukrainian soldiers have retaken more than 1,000 square miles of their country. Residents in the city Balaklia endured months under Russian occupation, but this month, Ukrainian troops arrived in a nearby village, liberating the area. Farmer Natalia told the BBC what it was like when she saw troops from her side arrive.
We thought we would never see them. And then our boys came, and they were so handsome, so beautiful, especially compared to the fascists. I didn't know what to do with them, if I should hug them or hold their hands. And I was very happy.
Well, in the last 24 hours, the Ukrainian army says it's taken back another 20 towns and villages as it continues its offensive against the Russians in the northeast. But the war's damage could linger. The BBC's Margarita Maliakova gives us the latest on the region's access to critical power supplies.
The situation has actually improved a lot this morning, and in Kharkiv, power and water supply is now 80% restored, and we're hearing from officials that it will take just a few hours for the situation to go back to the way it was before. And for example, in Dnipropetrovsk region, which is in the center-south of Ukraine, all power has now been restored after significant blackouts happened last night.
And it's not just electricity, but other infrastructure that was damaged in the Russian military strikes over the weekend that President Zelensky says were revenge for setbacks on the battlefield. Here's Valery Mershenko. He's the mayor of Izium, one of the towns that's been liberated by Ukraine's forces.
The city has been very much destroyed since March. Many residential block buildings were hit, along with infrastructure. In most areas, there is no electricity, no water, no gas, and no communication. Almost 70% of apartment blocks have been destroyed. Others just have no roofs, no doors, no windows.
Margarita, is there any sense about how long it could take to rebuild critical infrastructure and how people may cope over the winter if needed?
We're certainly seeing progress in some of these big cities, big population centers like Kharkiv or Dnipro. But when it comes to smaller towns, smaller villages, it certainly will take a bit more time. Ukrainian officials, including the president, have been very open and direct. They're saying that it's going to be a hard winter ahead and people should stock up on warm clothes, on generators that they can use in their homes. But in terms of strategy, I don't think we've heard any concrete plan. There's just a recognition that there will be problems.
The BBC's Margarita Maliakova for us. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thank you.
The effects of Russia's war in Ukraine are still ricocheting through Europe. A leading German forecaster this morning predicts the region's biggest economy will fall into recession next year with a 0.3% contraction. As we check the numbers now, though, that isn't denting momentum in European equities today. Regional benchmarks are up as much as 1.5%. Elsewhere, the British pound hit its lowest level since early last year after data showed the economy grew a slower than expected 0.2% in July. That followed a sharp drop in June, which was due in large part the loss of two working days to mark Queen Elizabeth's Platinum Jubilee celebrations, with another bank holiday to mark her funeral a week from today. Sam Toombs, the chief UK economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics, explains the effect that could have on the economy.
Fundamentally, the economy is just about treading water at the moment. Business surveys suggest that the economy is stagnant, not yet slipping into recession. Of course, the government has already intervened on energy prices, but we should hopefully see soon a reversal of April's increase in national insurance contributions, which subtracted from households' disposable incomes. That tax change should come through in the next quarter or two. And although there are some temporary drags on output ahead, most notably the extra bank holiday for the Queen's funeral, almost certainly will depress GDP in September. Fundamentally, still households' balance sheets look like they're in good shape. Many households still have savings that they accumulated during the pandemic, which they haven't yet spent. And businesses, too, also are still looking fairly upbeat. When you look at their investment plans, most businesses still are planning for growth over the next year or so. So it's really hanging in the balance whether the economy is going to slip into recession. If it is going to be a recession, it will be quite a mild one. And I think the Bank of England still will need to raise interest rates over the next few weeks.
And you mentioned household balance sheets there and their ability to sort of withstand all these economic problems. We talk about the Bank of England. We were supposed to see policymakers raise rates to 2.25% on Thursday. That would have been the highest level since December 2008. What is the need for the Bank of England to take very swift action to combat what is near double-digit inflation in this country?
Well, yes, the Bank of England certainly has more work to do. Inflation is likely to remain around that 10% level for the next 6 months or so. But it should then start to ease as we go through 2023. That price cap is going to really help control inflation. If you look at other commodity prices, things like oil prices are down now compared to where we were 3 months ago. So there is some good news to come for consumers that will take a while to filter down into their consumer prices that they're paying. But the good news is going to come through next year. And so from the MPC's perspective, they need to make sure that in the next few months, wage growth and inflation expectations don't take off in line with that very high headline rate of inflation that we're seeing right now. But ultimately, they'll be able to end their rate hiking cycle a bit earlier than markets are expecting, because that inflation outlook in the medium term does look now quite benign.
So you're fairly optimistic on the, I guess, medium to long term view of the UK economy.
Well, I think that the MPC will be able to hold back from raising rates to 4%, which is what markets are currently pricing in due to that relatively benign medium term outlook for inflation. And that gives the economy perhaps a bit more breathing space than appears to be apparent right now. Of course, we've seen very weak growth in productivity now for at least a decade, and there's no real sign of that turning around anytime soon. And the UK's workforce is unfortunately aging, and workforce growth is going to be relatively subdued compared to the strong rates of growth we saw in the 2010s.
Sam Toombs, the chief UK economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thank you.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.